Amen. I'll tell a couple of stories while the parents desert with their kids, come back. No, we're looking forward to camp. John and Jan Finocchio have always been a blessing to this church, and have always had a timely word for us. And our camps have always been good, all the camps, just to take the time. I know God speaks to us in a different way when we just come apart, not literally, but come apart and let Him speak to us. And it's amazing what God will do over a couple of days. So if you haven't registered, we've registered, we just haven't paid, but we're on there. Don't miss it. That is a weekend. And just a reminder, we keep saying it, there's no service here that Sunday morning. Don't want you to knock on the door and wonder what happened. Jesus came back and we're gone. But please, let people know that as well, if they're not getting that message, that there's no service that Sunday. And I just encourage you to pray for Jordan and Andrea. Herman and Yolani are over there this morning with them, just celebrating with Summit Life. And so it's a good reminder that we have friends in the city. We can keep praying for one another, for all the churches, but especially those that we count our friends. Amen. Well, we've been on a series, and it was Herman who kind of laid out the topics. And of all the things, and this is almost a year ago, my topic is Luke chapter 14, where it says, count the cost of being a disciple. And, you know, I preached the exact messages, the exact verses on Easter. And then last Sunday, Brian, my brother, came, and he preached those exact verses. And so I think the Lord's trying to say something. You know, you cannot be my disciple unless you hate your father and mother and all of that. And then the story of where you got to count the cost. And they said, no, but I got to get married and I got to buy a cow and all that stuff. And I don't want to repeat those verses, but are you getting it? Are we doing it? Are we counting the cost and laying down our lives and then just serving God with everything that we have? Because that just keeps coming around. So in light of that, I have chosen arbitrarily, because Herman does not control my life. I hope he hears this. In Luke chapter 6, verse 46 to 69. Couple of my favorite verses, but it relates to the teaching of Jesus and the stuff that we've been hearing the last weeks about the Spirit of God, but also about us, our part in it, of counting costs, of us making, you know, if you think of a guy building a building or a king going to war, they're thinking, they are making a plan how this is going to work out and in order for me to succeed. And so with that in mind, the verses that came to life for me are out of chapter 6. And he says, and we've read them, you've read them. If you've read your Bible, you've read these verses time and time again. But I'm praying the Holy Spirit will just take and sink something into our hearts. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? So no matter how many times we preach, no matter how many times we hear about the counting the cost, no matter how many times we challenge ourselves and one another, we have to hear what he says and do what he says. He says, don't say, Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say. I'll show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid a foundation on the rock, and when a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. I like that picture. The house is our life, right? The house is our testimony in Christ. It's, you know, Jesus is the rock, and we dig down to that, and we lay this foundation on that foundation of the rock. We start laying down this foundation of testimony, of action, of decisions, of obedience, of walking with God. And it grows, and it's our testimony, and we're building something amazing. When the flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it. I love that picture. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. So may God bless his holy, infallible word to our hearts this morning. Imagine Jesus standing here. Imagine. And he says these words to us. What would, you know, we were talking about it in the prayer meeting, talking just now. It was like, what if Jesus was coming back in 20 minutes? How would I preach this? It's like, build your house on the rock, Jesus. Make sure your foundation is solid. Stop fooling around. You know, stop messing around with the things that don't matter. And I don't want to repeat Brian's message from last week and my message from Easter. Like, you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot be his disciple unless you literally hate father and mother. It's a comparison term, you know. It's an idiom. It's all that powerful truths I said a few weeks ago that you've all remembered and recorded and are living out week by week. You cannot have two masters. You must obey one. It's not that you can't. You can't do it. And so Jesus is challenging us today from his word to come and to hear and to put into practice. And that means a lot of things, and I got stuff I want to say. But he says, you know, why do you say Lord, Lord? It's like a profession without the person, a religion without the relationship, a title Christian without the testimony is what he's saying. It's like it's just words. And that's what we're in danger of so many times, of just having the outward expression of it. And that's what kills the joy and the you know, Brian said it, Eric said it on Thursday night, I'm going to repeat some of his stuff, but this is actually a walk with Jesus. It's a life living and walking with Jesus, hearing his voice, following him. And it's not just this lip service. So easy to say that, but it's not just, you know, I love the worship. I love that people respond. I love what we just take time to let God, because it's not just saying, Lord, Lord. It's Lord, Lord. What is the Lord saying to me? And some of the challenges to younger men and women and marriages and homes and families and wherever you're at in your life, what is the Lord saying to us? And then living that out. And walking that out. So he says, come. I just have different thoughts around that word. And I, you know, I've shared it. It's I'm thankful that you've come. Many haven't come. And you've come. These are levels of faith. But think about the word he says, come. Those who come, they come to him. And all I could get this week was just the privilege of knowing God. The privilege of having heard his sweet voice. To say, come. Many have not heard it, and many may hear it and not respond, but we have responded. We have come to Jesus. I'm not talking about come to church. Yes, come to church. This is the church that Jesus is building. He's building his church. It's worldwide, and it's also local, but he says, come, and I just thinking of the privilege of hearing Jesus say, come, and I don't want to ever lose that. And Eric preached or taught on that out of Romans on Thursday night. But just that sweet moment when the Spirit of God opens up our hearts and the light of God floods in and we're saved. In that moment, we respond to the work of the Holy Spirit. We're born again from above and the Spirit of God regenerates us. And we cry out, Abba, Father. We repent and we turn to God. And that amazing moment. But then there's this amazing life that we walk out and we live with him and it's a continuous thing. And so we keep coming, is what I want to say. We keep coming back to him and we keep seeking him. And we keep, you know, it's like, oh God, don't let me get too used to this. I don't want to just become comfortable with the things of God. That it's just Lord, 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 Lord. You know, I could quote the Madagascar movie. Mine, 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 mine. It's like empty. And he wants a heart And he wants us to just have this passion for him as Lord in our lives. So, thanks, Marcy. I just wanted to get your name in the recording. When I think of the privilege of the call of God, I was reminded of a couple of things. Just let me, you know, we moved this week. We sold and moved, and many amazing folks helped us, so you know what I'm talking about. But it's like, I was reminded again, if God called you, could you respond, or are you too in debt? Just light stuff like that. Like, could you actually make a move? If God spoke to you in this service this morning, are you just stuck in debt? It's like, yeah, I can, but just let me go sell that cow and get that property, whatever. Like, that's the story. Could you? And God is reminding us again and again to come to him and be prepared to walk that out, whatever that is. How about your marriage? Is your marriage or your singleness secure and healthy that if God called you, you could go? Sometimes we think, well, if I could just be married. No, trust me. Again, it was Eric who preached on that. It was you, I think, talking about marriage. Sometimes we never really look at the words of Paul when he talked about marriage as a disadvantage as far as following the Lord and serving God and doing the thing. You're stuck with this woman. No, you're stuck with this man. That's even worse. Be careful what you pray for. So in your marriage, that's a whole other sermon. In your marriage or in your singleness, have you got margins? Have you got health? Have you got, if Jesus called you, could you go? Could you be effective? Could you, or is it still, you know, this, my finances, my marriage, my life, it's like, oh, I can't really do much for God because, you know, I got to get healed every week. Or could you step out into the things that God's called you to? He's saying, come. I keep coming. He's saying, come, always. Yeah. Come. He's calling to us. It's not just salvation. That's the most amazing, amazing thing. But then it's like he's saying, come. And you just read the scriptures, the apostles, the disciples following Jesus, and they'd get it, and they'd mess up, and they'd get it, and they'd mess up, and he just keep working. He gives them their Holy Spirit as a sign of their wonderful salvation, that they could know that they're saved. He puts that seal on them. I know that I'm saved. That's not the issue. What's the issue is my heart burning for Jesus? Is my life getting ready for the things of God? Can I go? If he calls me today, could I go? Could I do something? Can I be a blessing wherever I am? Because of my marriage, because of my singleness, because of who I am, I'm in a sweet place, and I can serve God. So here's the kicker. If you are in a good place, I always use the illustration of the Dahlenbergs. I wrote their name down here. They're my good friends, but Stephen and Kathy. When we were talking about coming here to plant, they prayed really hard, like Russell and others, Herman, Elani, Helen. So they came and said, you know, we're praying, we want to come on this church plant, we're prepared to sell our home, we're prepared to give up our business. You have to know them to understand. These are not weak people who came with us from South Africa, amen? Not, you know, it's like, oh, we got to go to Africa. No, you've got the wrong picture in your mind completely. And so they prayed and they were prepared, and then they felt God say this, that's wonderful that you're ready, now do that here, over there. And so that's my point, is he's saying come, and I challenge you, are you in a good place financially? Are you good place in your marriage? Are you in good place in your singleness? Are you good place in your heart walking with God? You could go to Africa today. Yeah. And then he's saying, okay, great, now do that right here. Yeah. Live like that right now. Yeah. Serve God here. Yeah. I could tell you stories of Mwanza, but I want to tell you stories of right here in Edmonton, and we have them. And we hear testimonies all the time of people right in this house, what God is doing in their life and how he's turning their finances around, how he's turning marriages around, how he's turning their own personal walk with God, coming out of depression or coming out of battles and saying, you know, I'm going to do good things for God. We do it here, in this house, in our families, in our workplace, wherever we are. I'm taking too long. You say, well, I'm waiting until I get qualified. Now, it's challenging a couple of the younger guys right here at the front. God qualifies the called. Don't wait. I really like that word from the prayer time this morning, Drew, that evening is coming. Man, we don't have a long time. We're living in something of the amazing goodness of God, but he's got more for us because the days are short. And it's not just for us. It's so that we can be a blessing and we can take the gospel everywhere and we can share the love of God. And he's saying, get your lives together, man, so we can do this thing. Take the good news to the ends of the earth. Quit repeating and repeating and repeating and going back in these cycles. Come with me, he says. Walk into the things of God. God invites us to an amazing life. Will you come? Second, he says, here's. Think of the privilege. Again, I love that picture. The privilege of heard God. Is he speaking to you this morning? Did he speak through a whisper? Did he speak through a song? Did he speak through a prayer? Did he speak through someone just laying their hand? He's speaking. And I think it was Clem, he said, the language of heaven is love. If God is speaking, you're going to go away feeling encouraged and loved, even if it's a hard word, even if he's calling you into something and he's challenging you and you got to cry out and you got to repent. It's his voice, his is love. And he speaks that to us. And when he speaks to us, like, I think of kids, you know, we're like really bad examples, fathers and mothers. When we talk to our kids, you know, this is for your good. It's going to hurt. No, it's going to hurt you more than me. But when God deals with us, we know he loves us. And we don't have that orphan spirit. An orphan spirit feels like, oh, he's just attacking. I'm no good. And no, a son is like, you take discipline. A daughter, you're like, yes, God, he loves me. He wants the best for me. So when he's saying, come to me, hear me, he's doing it because he loves us. Eric said this on Thursday night. See, I told you I was going to quote you. What's the worst use of going to listen to Bible teaching if you're not going to steal a bit of it, right? We don't live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And not just this. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Sometimes we think if we could just get this more. Yes, this is the word of God. But his example was Abraham had no scripture. And he's the father of faith. He's our amazing example of faith. He heard God. And the Christian life is a wonderful moment at the altar when we cry out to Jesus, but it's also a walk with God where we hear his voice. The Spirit of God is speaking. He's speaking to us right now. He's speaking to our hearts right now and calling us to more. And I'm saying, after I've said come 100 times, I'm saying, hear. Do you hear? Open your ears. Pray that God would uncork your ears, that you would hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you and to me. I want to hear. And sometimes it's really easy to hear, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's just, you know, you're swamped with noise. And you got tinnitus, and there's a ringing in this ear. Oh, that's just me. No, and it's like you want to hear God more and more. Open up your ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. It's a continuous God speaking. And when I say that, I'm not saying add to the Bible. No, I'm saying what God speaks, it'll be in line. It'll confirm. And this will confirm what God is speaking. It's not some weird stuff over there. It's the Spirit of God. He's speaking, and it's relevant, and it's life-changing, and it'll change your heart and my heart if we will hear it. And then he says, put it into practice. Romans. If you weren't there on Thursday, sorry, you need to go buy the book. You think we're just playing around? Come on, Russell, help me here. I love it, Eric. Your teaching is I'm saying it. And God's already confirmed it in your life, that it needs to go around the world. It needs to be taught. It needs to be understood here. I wish every one of us was hearing it on Thursday night. Just line upon line, precept upon precept, just building faith in people. But this is the verse, Romans 4:12. And to make him the father of the circumcised, talking about Abraham, he's our father and the circumcised, who are not merely circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. So what makes Abraham our father is that he walked in faith, and we are supposed to walk in those footsteps of faith. Amen? It's a life. Comes and hears and keeps coming and keeps hearing and keeps walking in the footsteps of Abraham, walking in the steps of faith following God. We could preach on that all morning. Our life is a walk with him. Our hearts opened up and his love shed into us, was shed upon us. That's salvation. But then we get to live this out and walk this out. How's it going with you this week? Are you going from strength to strength? Is there a sense of God greater than it was a while ago? I thank God for his refreshing times. I thank God when he just makes his word fresh and his spirit is alive and they speak into my heart and you feel the goodness of God. This morning, I want to cry out for orphans. My son is not here. There's people living out there, a hard life, and if they just knew how much God cared, they could just hear his sweet voice. If they could just come and hear Jesus. He says, put it into practice. So how? Well, here's, glad you asked. He says a couple things in these verses. He says, dig deep. Dig deep while sluggards sleep. You've got to dig. If you forget everything else I say this morning, you know, I used to go to seminars on how to avoid floods, how to be blessed, 3 steps to financial success. You know, it's that modern gospel, which isn't a gospel. I actually used to preach some of those conferences. How to avoid trouble. God's for you. He's not against you. It's true, but you're going to get smacked, and a flood is coming. And if you've never learned to dig deep, if you've never learned to wrestle for yourself, see, that's a false doctrine that'll tell you you'll never have trouble again in your life. You just serve Jesus. Whew, that's a lie. It's not if the trouble comes, it's when. But when it comes, you've built this testimony, you've built this life on a rock, on the foundation. And so the best thing we can do as preachers, as pastors, as leaders of a church is teach you how to dig. Get your finances right. Get your marriage right. Get your life right. We keep saying it. We'll keep saying it until Jesus comes. Get into the Word of God. Get into fellowship. That's why we come together. Encourage one another. Strengthen one another. Especially as you see the day coming. That, you know, the love of many will grow cold. People will die from fear. There's world events, global events happening right now and are coming in the next weeks that are going to shake this planet. I don't even have to be a prophet to say that. Are you ready? Is your life built on something? Or do you want me to say, oh, Jesus loves you and it's amazing. You just come and he'll just take care of every problem. It's true, but there's going to come a flood that's going to test every bit of your faith and test where you are in your life. And if you haven't had it yet, thank God, but it's coming. And that's just good theology. Learn to dig. Get into the Word. Get into the things of God. Get into community. Get into family. Get into relationships, fellowship, whatever words you want to use. Get people around your life. If there's one thing we keep hearing and hearing and hearing again, get people together in your life. The ladies' ministry was the same message. Get people in your life. Surround yourself with godly men and women who will stand with you, pray with you, bless you. I've said it 100 times. I wouldn't want to have a baby without being part of a church. I wouldn't want to have a baby, but you know what I mean. Just for the record, men cannot have babies, okay? It's a weird world when you got to say that, eh? Woo! Foundation is Jesus. Dig deep. Listen, when the times when I don't feel that sweet Jesus in my life is the times when I got to dig the hardest. That's when you got to find a place. You got to get a sweet spot. I got a couple spots in our, even in our new house now. Hallelujah. Only been in there one night. But this morning I'm sitting there just thanking God. Whew. Selma, your testimony is a blessing. And there's a couple of testimonies that I could share of how God's life-changing blessing around finance. Life-changing. Like that. And you just sit there and you're just amazed at God's goodness to us. And you got to find those places where you can dig in. And it cannot just be here. Thank God for here. Amen? Thank God we can come and stand here and ask someone to pray. I love it. I want it more and more. I want, you know, what keeps getting to my heart is the children in this house. Because I got some grandkids. I've seen my kids grow. It's like, Jesus, just fill these little guys with the Holy Spirit. They need it more than we ever needed it. I believe stuff is coming, and it's always been coming, and it's been there from the beginning. But I'm just telling you, in this life we live in, we need God. We need to hear His Holy Spirit every day. We need to understand, what's He saying? What should I do with my account? What should I do with my money? What should I do with my family? What should I do with my careers? What decisions? This is not a time for loose living. Take it for what it's worth. Dig deep. Get your foundation on the rock. Make some of those decisions. And I've preached that 100 times, whether it's about money or attending church or whatever. Just make up your mind, man. Just settle that thing. We're not a sports family on Sunday. Sorry, Kyle, that was my oldest son. We don't do soccer on Sunday. Settled. Never a question again for the rest of his life. We tithe. Settled. Never a question. Whatever money comes up, it's settled. It's done. Faithful to my wife. Settled. It started when we were dating for 4 years. Settled. Not when we're sitting in the car warm and sweet and my beautiful sweetheart. You settled it in the church, sitting in those two private chairs over there. Settled. Done. That's it. Foundation settled. First rock on Jesus. That's it. Marriage is of God. I'm going to keep my life settled. Done. God owns everything. He asked for 10%. Settled. Plus, I'm going to be generous. Settled. And it's done for life. And I see people wrestling. I don't even want to name things. Settle it. Get it done. Build a foundation that is just solid, man, because the flood is coming. Flood is tests and trials of life, and you know all that. They will come. Starts with our relationship with Jesus. He says, come. The one who comes, the one who hears, and the one who puts it into practice. It's so simple, and yet it's so hard. To put that into practice, whatever it is. God, I'm going to do it. I'm going to ask the music guys to come. I appreciate your singing today. Could we just wait on God for a few moments? What I felt, and Nicole confirmed it in her prayer time with me, is just that God wants to release people. We've prayed it already, and I don't want to drag it out, but I really believe there's areas in marriage and areas in finance and areas in our joy and areas in our walk that somehow a decision needs to be made today to live it out, to put it into practice. And I don't want to name things because then I'll miss things. But you know what God is speaking to you about putting into practice in your life. Whether it's just simple kindness, simple joy, simple finance things. These are not simple. These are life-changing. Whether it's just to change your mind. Maybe you've been holding something against God. I don't know. And he's saying he wants our hearts. He wants to release. He wants you to hear him, and he wants you to put it into practice. For some, that might be a call to serve God in another country. I don't know. That's what God spoke to me in sitting in a meeting. It could be just to get your stuff in order. I don't want to name this stuff, but I'm saying, Holy Spirit, I pray for a release this morning. And I know you guys, you sing whatever song you want, but I just feel those words, the Lord bless you and keep you. God's his face to shine upon you. Give you peace. 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 And may he bless you and your children and your children's children. Some of you this morning, you got to make some decisions that are going to release your kids. It's going to release grandkids. Father, I pray. I pray for a release of your Holy Spirit over bondage. I ask you, Father. I ask you for it this morning. May we come. Just come. Maybe you don't have faith this morning to hear a lot. Just come. Put yourself in a place that God can speak to you. And hear. Hear him this morning. And then put it into practice. I pray that. I pray. Thank you, Jesus. So maybe we could stand. And if the musicians want to play, sing something, and you feel God's calling you to respond, as I said, it can be to the call of God. It could be to financial freedom. It could be repenting. I don't know. Just respond this morning. Would you do that? Would you just come? Let's take a few moments. It's still early. And I really believe the Spirit of God wants to speak. He is speaking. Thank you. Thank you.